Welcome to the Craft Beer Cast. I'm Josh. That's Jeff.
Hey, what's happening? I'm here, and so is Wells.
Yeah, well, virtually here.
But at least for Wells and I, neither of us appeared in the Epstein files. Not sure about Josh yet. I haven't looked for him.
Ah, oh my God. Thank goodness, right?
If I had that kind of fucking money, I wouldn't be doing this podcast, man.
Oh. See, you say that, but that's just what somebody with a lot of money would say as a good way to cover.
You're not wrong, but you see my house, okay?
How do I know this is your only house, man?
That's easy to find through a property search, because it's all public record here in North Carolina. So.
Yeah, but what we're learning is public record doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, good point. Touche.
All right, that's enough of that.
That's fine. It's media time. What medias you've been consuming?
So I can't remember if I mentioned this before. So I'm traveling a little more for work now. I've started trying to go through some of my Hall of Shame movies that I should have watched but never have watched.
Okay.
Right. Casablanca. Had never seen it until about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
What?
I've never seen it
again,
either.
Hall of Shame. What? Wells. The whole point of this is the movies that I throw out there, you're supposed to be like, what? Finally watched Dr. Strangelove.
I've seen that one. I love that.
Yeah. What? And completely in that same high tier of quality cinema, Sylvester Stallone's Over the Top. But it's one of those one of those movies that everybody, talks about, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I should probably watch this at some point. I mean, it took me forever before I got to the Brat Pack movies and all that kind of stuff. Over the Top was something I watched, and my wife's like, what are you watching? And I'm like, yeah, it's Stallone.
Yeah. It's
ridiculous.
Don't question.
I'm like, it's basically that they remade it and our son loved it. It was called Real Steel, right? They didn't remake it, but it was basically the same kind of general concept.
Kind of like Running Man, where it's not the exact reboot of Running Man, but the same general idea. Not,
yeah. Real Steel was Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Thank you, Hugh Jackman. Welcome to Second Beer, Jeff. ADHD is kicking a little bit. Yeah. And, it's fighting robots versus arm wrestling, but sometimes it's just I gotta mix it up. Otherwise I'll watch 30 movies over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. I get it. I know, Wells, you've been watching The Toxic Avenger, cause you keep sending it to me. So how many times have you watched it?
Just twice. Okay. I had so much fun the first time. I was also in a very loosey-goosey state.
Altered state of mind.
A little bit of an altered state of mind. But God, it still hit the second time. I don't make me watch it a third time. Oh, no.
Well, I mean, like I told you, I grew up on those old trauma movies. That was kind of how I cut my teeth once I got out of mainstream cinema and started hey, there's other stuff out here. And I really did. So I will, once I get sound back, I will watch it for sure.
So let me ask a question to the two of you, because I'm sure we all kind of did that same thing. There's the movies we grew up with. And then we got to that college age kind of thing. We started, we get into Tarantino and you get into Kubrick and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so you had those movies that then became these are the greatest of all time. Do you ever go back to any of them?
Yeah.
Because for me, for a long time, it was Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction and Dust Till Dawn as just some examples, right? Fight Club, right? And now the thought of going back and watching any of those, Pulp Fiction, I can still get down with.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that I could do Reservoir Dogs again.
Reservoir Dogs,
I just don't want to.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs, I'm kind of there with you, but Pulp Fiction, I can. Fight Club, especially, I can. I can't tell you, especially when we still had cable and, we had HBO and all that shit, some of these old classics would just come on and all of a sudden it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh shit, I need to go to bed because I got to get up and go to work.
Yeah. And maybe it's because I'm a couple years older than you, and I just, like, I've kind of gotten past that phase. Like, I'm not that angsty kid like I used to.
Oh, no, totally.
I'm an angsty adult. Yeah. It's totally different, you guys.
Right. No, it's not something I seek out. How about that? But, like, if it just popped up on a screen in front of me, oh, Fight Club, cool. I'll sit down and watch this. But, yeah, I guess to your point, am I going to actively seek that out? Probably not, unless I'm showing it to somebody for the first time. You need to watch this, and I will watch it with you.
I just wonder, because I feel like there's more of Fight Club that I would kind of fast forward through at this stage of my life.
What? Oh.
And also, like, and so, again, maybe this is because I'm older, house, kids.
Yeah.
And that kind of stress and anxiety is no longer an outlet of pleasure for me.
I get it.
Like, back then it was like, yeah, right on. Wow. And now I'm just like, this is stressing me out too much. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's also too, like, especially that particular movie, it's like that twist only makes sense so much. And then once you see it, you're like, okay. I've seen it.
I will say I did watch the new episode of The Muppet Show. Was pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
It's like The Muppet Show of old. Mm. I mean, it's Sabrina Carpenter, so obviously you got to, like, you know, ramp up for, like, new musical guests and whatnot. But, like, I'm like, yeah, this feels like the old Muppet Show. Huh. It felt very comfortable.
Interesting.
Seth Rogen did a great job.
What platform is that on?
HBO.
HBO, okay.
And, like, they put out one episode. I'm like, this feels like an expensive setup for a single 30-minute show.
Right.
So, like, I gotta believe they've already started doing more.
Yeah, probably. But, just really quickly before we pop into the news, so I beat Expedition 33.
Oh, not a... You were so high on life.
Yeah, fuck that game. I hate it.
Okay, then.
You know how...
Did, like, you get the bad ending?
There is no good ending in that game.
You didn't get the happy ending.
There is no happy ending in that game, number one. Number two... Like, typically in JRPGs, like, I'll, like, go through and grind and power level all the optional bosses and all that fun shit for fun. Yep. I beat the main story boss, and I'm like, uninstall. We're done. Get out.
Oh.
But I also feel like so much of everything just doesn't stick anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you've heard me say it over the last couple of years. Like, when I get tired of a game, I end up going back to the stuff that I've played a million... Like, I spent with the ice storms and everything the last couple of weekends, I spent a lot of time in Borderlands grinding gear, which is soul sucking.
Sounds like it.
And then I got to a point Sunday where I'm like, I just don't feel like doing this, and I'm not going to play football. Let's install Arkham City. Might as well start that for the eighth time.
I mean, great game. It's a great game.
Yep. But I mean, stuff today, it just, like, nothing sticks like it used to. That is my point.
And it maybe wasn't the sticking factor. It's just the choices that they made where it was just like an intentional fuck you. And I'm like, guys, come on. Like, we already, life is dark enough. Yeah. I don't need this. You can fuck all the way off. So yeah, uninstalled. Anyways, well, should we change IPAs?
Oh God.
Should we transition, baby?
Should we change IPAs? Why would we want to change IPAs?
Because they're just old and played out.
Old and played out? What are you talking about?
They say in this article that they're just old and played out.
Oh, my God. No, this article is saying craft beer is old and played out, not just IPAs.
Your face is old and played out.
All right, so what... I have to admit, I didn't read this one. What do they suggest that we do then?
Is your favorite color?
We should go back to drinking, you know, beer. Beer flavored beer. Now, this is an article in The Guardian, so it's an op-ed written by a very British person. That's like, you know what? We just need to go back and drink nothing but mild ale and
you boil all your food. Your opinion is invalid. Sorry.
Yeah. This was just absolutely ridiculous. I'm like, this is rage bait. I know this is rage bait. I don't think I should. I mean, but we don't have anything to talk about in show two, so it's like, yeah, it's just.
No, I feel like we're gonna get some mileage out of number two here. But so, Look, okay, so Josh, you've been to the UK.
Yes, yes.
You know what the pub scene is like there.
Yes.
And it is not IPA land.
It isn't. And granted, you know, it's been, out of the three of us, I have been the most recent, and that's still been since 2018. So I'm sure the landscape has changed. But, like, typically, if you would go to a pub, there is 90% ales, and there would be, like, one IPA. That would be it. I'd get an IPA and we'd be good. Or I'd just have ales and I had a lot of ales. So I guess this article makes no sense. And Wells, you're right. This is rage bait because it's already like that over there. Unless it has changed that much since I've been, where it's just IPAs out the wazoo, which I just don't see that over there because this is not their culture.
It feels like, you know, this is the proper thing to do. We're going to have English breakfast. We're going to drink our pub ales. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-mm. But there's also nothing necessarily wrong with people liking to drink what they want to drink.
Dude, it was so commonplace at lunchtime specifically to see guys in business suits who are clearly on their lunch break that are just having a 3% mild ale with their lunch and their fish and chips, and then they go back to work.
That would taste great.
Right?
I'm totally in.
Yeah. So why would you change that? Or why would you want, you're already there. You don't need to go back to it. It already exists.
I think it's, so the beer scene can be kind of weird, right? Like, I think we get a little overprotective of our beer scene. And in that, when I say our, whoever is listening to this, both of you, it is what you want your scene to be.
Yes.
And so there's the stuff that you like. There's the stuff that you don't like. There's that place in town that you absolutely love, and everything they make just like hits for you the way you want it to. And then one day something changes and they make things a little differently. And it's not quite like they're not making as much of that one thing that you really like. And that other thing that you kind of like, they're not making it the same way. And it's not as good, but that's evolution. That's growth. Stuff's going to change and we have to be okay with that. And so for years, I'll pick on myself here. For years, I've complained because every brewery I go into is like, hey, we have 8 hazies on the menu. They're all the same recipe.
Yeah.
With slightly different hops.
Yeah.
And we've got 5 sours and a pilsner and a lager that we really don't care about. Definitely don't drink our saison. What can I get you? And I'm like, do you have like a stout?
Right.
Or a West Coast IPA? Nah, man, we're all out of those. And I'm like, cool. No doubt. And I feel like that's where this is going, right? Like, this is the place that I, you know, this individual, they're used to seeing maybe the old tradition, the old guard.
Yeah.
And it's changing.
The old speckled hen and old Uncle Roger Dodger. And
the visual gag from World's End with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, right? Yeah. Like, literally every pub is the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But now things are, you know, like there's more.
Which is 100% true, by the way.
There's, I'm going to try to say this as apolitically as possible. People don't always appreciate diversity.
No, you're right. They don't.
And it can be good. It can be bad. But you can't just thumb your nose at it because sometimes that's just the way things go.
I mean, literally, so where we were staying in Notting Hill, there was a pub at the end of the road, and then you'd walk another block, and there was another pub. They looked identical, other than what beer was in there. That was the only difference. Like, they looked the fucking same. And at one point, maybe after a few too many, I'm like, are we in pub A or pub B? I'm confused. Like, which one am I in?
Oh.
I don't even know. It's so samesies over there, and it's just a weird scene, man.
But is that because of the Tide House thing?
I think it is. I think that's a big chunk of it because, you know, that Tide House system that's over there is real. Like, you walk in there and you're only going to get a doom. Like, so they'll be brewery specific or beer specific. So Doom was a big one over there. That was the name of the beer. It was called Doom.
Doom, like the
Doom, like Dr. Doom.
Okay, Doom. Okay.
Yeah,
like MF Doom.
For a beer, right? You're like, oh, this has got to be an IPA. No, it's an ale. And I'm like, oh, man.
How are you gonna become Doom?
Yes, this beer is gonna inspire Doom in you with its 3.8%.
Exactly. It's 3.8% nutty brownness.
Now, did you get that at the first post? The old familiar, the famous cock, the cross hands, the good companions, the trusty servant, the two-headed dog, maybe, the mermaid, the beehive, the king's head, the hole in the wall?
It was the king's head.
Or the world's end.
Yeah. Which I did go to the world's end.
Nice.
Now, granted, it was the London-ized version.
Did you have
a
marmalade sandwich? I'm just asking as a friend.
No. I ran in and ran out quick. Although the last night there, I did have Cornettos. I got it.
All right. Well, you didn't
see. I didn't react. So, yeah, shit doesn't need to change. Like Jeff said. It's going to change. All right. So, fuck it. I'm just going to pick on him. Old Mech. Completely fucking changed. They ran all of us out. At least the people gave a fuck about that place.
Yeah.
Because it started doing stupid shit. So it can be bad when you do stupid shit.
It can be bad if you do stupid things for stupid reasons. Like, we want to maximize shareholder value by skimping on ingredients and getting rid of our quality. That's a bad choice.
Yes.
But sometimes growth, it can be painful at first, but there's this, you know, like it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Brewery goes and tries to keep up with the cutting edge and the current trends. And we're like, oh, why can't you be, why don't you have more flagships?
Why can't you be the Veil?
But then when, I don't know, but then when the brewery has their flagships and only one other thing, Birdsong, it's like, why can't you do more interesting stuff that's good?
Good point.
So you, like,
yeah,
you can't always win. Pilot, we had their pub ale on, what was that, a month ago? Was great. And I bet they have that on all the time. And that's great. But they also probably have more things that are new than things that aren't.
Yeah.
Resident culture is the same way.
Yeah.
You're going to go there, you're going to get lightning drops. But why would you get lightning drops? You know, I mean.
Yeah, I'm going to get lightning drops everywhere.
Yeah. What was it? The QCBF, the last time that I went,
You
know, and Noda's there pouring hop, drop, and roll. And I'm like, who is this event even for?
Yeah.
Like, why are you here pouring the beer that anybody can get at every store?
Yeah.
At every grocery store in town, bottle shops, at the brewery. Like, this isn't even a fancy beer. You're not stretching yourselves. But maybe somebody somehow hasn't had hop, drop, and roll yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
I digress.
No, you're right.
I'm on the old Mecklenburg Untapped, just the venue. And did y'all know they have a hazy IPA?
Yeah.
Doesn't shock me at all.
Yeah, I knew they did.
Weird.
What's Ryan Heisken about?
Right, but it was like when that was a way that they could hold their nose up over everybody else, they absolutely did.
Oh, yeah.
When it was no longer convenient for them to do it, they kind of got brushed under the rug.
Yep.
People will make beer choices for their own reasons. Sometimes it's because this is what I like. Sometimes it's because this is what I remember. Sometimes it's because this is a good price. For example.
Yeah. So there is this article it's not even an article. It's a post on /craftbeer, not cast. This was a subreddit that I had joined kind of in the early days of Reddit. And it always, to me, was just kind of like beer porn. Is really what it was.
Look at my haul back in the day. Remember that? It was like, oh man, look how many, you know, look how many Plinies I have. Look how many Heady Toppers I have. Look at all this that I got from Trillium. I'm like, oh, that's a house.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, this shit started popping up. And when I say this shit, there is a post of somebody in a Costco. I don't know exactly where they were, but they had Bourbon County or BCBS for $6.20. And the caption is, how many should I snack?
Okay, and to put it in perspective, like, you can go to the local grocery that's like a stone's throw away from Josh's house. You can get this year's, last year's, and probably the year before's Bourbon County brand stout.
Yep.
But they're $18
for
what is a 16.9-ounce bottle, right? Yeah. So it's barely more than a pint.
Yep.
And this is basically a third of the cost.
Yes.
And so the question, bring it all back full circle, how many to snag? Man, that's Hero? A loaded question.
Well, and so, yes, that's where the comments really kind of got all over the place in this case. And what really pissed me off more than anything was the people that got downvoted for saying exactly what you just said, Wells, of zero. And then this thought just came into my head of, this isn't fucking craft beer. This subreddit is not fucking craft beer. If they were, this shit should have not existed.
It's the people who like the idea of liking craft beer. And some of them probably do like craft beer.
Yeah.
But they also don't like it enough that they're willing to look at the hard and ugly truth that, and not only is this Bourbon County Brand Stout, it's from 2022. So this is absolutely beer that's been sitting around that they were never able to sell.
Yep.
It's been in an AB InBev warehouse. They sold it to Costco.
Yep.
Just to get it out of their floor.
Yep.
That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. But, you know, it's a 14% stout. So a 14% stout at $6 a pint, give or take, that's not a bad value proposition.
No, it's like when you found all those cheap bottles of sexual chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even close. But this isn't craft beer.
No.
But to a lot of people, it still is. Because it's the, like, yeah, okay. She was 13, but it was okay because she said it was all right. No, it's not. Not okay. This is not okay.
No, it's not. And
I guess I should be careful not to try to compare Bourbon County Brown Stout to pedophilia.
Yeah.
The point being,
that,
like,
was a stretch.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't feel like
this. Okay. How about this? This is the moment, at least to me, when what I always kind of knew, but it was just proof in the pudding that craft beer has jumped the shark.
Sure.
Because of so many people going, buy them all. I'll buy some from you. And then the people like Wells and you and I that would have said, don't fucking give them any money, are downvoted to oblivion.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
So it begs the question. And if it's the question I probably would post on there if I cared enough to post, and I don't. What is craft beer? I mean, it's you know, we've been doing the craft beer cast now for a decade plus.
Yeah.
What is craft beer?
It's not that.
It's not something like, in my mind, I feel like you should go on Untappd, look up this beer, find and take the screenshot where it literally says Macro Brewery and say, this is not craft beer. Craft, like, I feel like the artisan movement kind of, not in the beer world, but just in general, kind of destroyed this whole idea of what words mean. Handcrafted, you know, like, or like, how many restaurants have you seen, like, handcrafted fries? I'm like, no shit.
Yeah.
I'll be like, who else is doing it?
Yeah.
You're like running it through a separator, like in-house? Like, no, like they're handcrafted. Like, yeah, like.
No. That is a valid point. And yeah, this pissed me off enough to the point where I finally did something I should a long time ago and just left that subreddit.
Yeah.
Because I knew I should have. But like when I saw this and then all of that, and then to that point, it made me question, like, am I the one that's fucking crazy now?
Yeah.
Because no, everybody else. Really,
my kid doesn't really drink, so I can't ask him.
No. And when you ask us, you know we're going to tell you that you're insane just to fuck with you.
Exactly. So it's just like, are there a lot of drinkers out there that are just like, whatever, I don't care. This is still brewed by Goose. It's not outsourced like all their other stuff is. So it's still craft. No, it's not.
I mean, and then so playing devil's avocado. We get so wrapped up about craft beer.
We do.
But then when it comes to like
this bourbon, is the craft beer cast.
But when it comes to like bourbon.
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean, it's all owned by like three people and we know it and we're fine with it.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually say Jack Daniels, but I know it's owned by the company that owns Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
This says Goose Island. It doesn't say Anheuser-InBev.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. You're right.
It's made in Chicago. And, you know, arguably, BCBS allegedly is still being made in Chicago. And like, so that's great.
Yeah.
Is it craft? Maybe that particular beer is, but you can't call Goose Island craft beer.
Absolutely not.
Like, it's just this weird sort of,
But it's always been this way with this particular, well, them and Wicked Weed. And Wicked Weed, not so much. I feel like Wicked Weed has kind of fallen off a lot in the craft beer circle. Like, those first couple of years, everybody was still all over their nuts.
Yeah. There still are people. I think people like the idea of liking craft beer. They find something that they like. There was another article floating around. I think it was on /r/Charlotte. Somebody was looking for a replacement for Sycamore Mountain Candy.
Yes.
Saw that. Yep.
And I think the problem for a lot of people is they find a beer they like, they go all in, it becomes who they are. They don't try a lot of different things because, well, I tried this, I didn't like it, so I'm not going to try anything else. I'm just going to stick to Mountain Candy. And then Mountain Candy becomes obsessively problematic.
Yes.
What do you do?
Problematic. And then, but then, like, what do you do? And like, I feel like the real, like, if this was 2013, I would say, go to Duckworth's, get a DD, order a big plate of nachos, and get, like, three flights. Try everything they have. Find something else that you like.
Yeah.
Because it's out there.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did.
Yeah.
I tried stuff and tried stuff and tried stuff, and I enjoyed the whole journey, and then stumbled onto an IPA. I'm like, oh, this is really good. I actually kind of like this. And then got more and more and more into IPAs. Like,
yeah,
you're not going to know until you try. And so I would say, and this is really segueing, and I'm sorry, but
no, you're fine.
For in response to that particular individual, start asking around in the beer scene, find somebody that's doing a bottle share.
Yep.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of bottle shares are going to be, check out all my big, heavy Imperial Stouts that are 20% and my barley wines that are 18%. Yeah. But before I got into craft beer, before I moved here to North Carolina, where it's readily available, we had a group of adults. We would get together once a month. Everybody would bring a 4-pack or 6-pack of some fancy-ish beer, you know, basically not like macro lagers.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring a beer that for some reason resonated with you. And we would try it and we would talk about it, have snacks. And that's how we learned what we liked and we didn't like.
I mean, that's how I got into beer too, is like we would have a monthly poker game and we all had to bring a sixer at that point. That was your buy-in. And we would just all share it. And that's how I first learned about Boulevard for the very first time.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, what is this? This isn't like a Bud or a Miller or a Coors. This is something completely different.
Yeah. You need a safe place where you can try a lot of different things. And that can be a super double-edged sword because you're going to end up having something. You're like, I want a lot of this.
Yeah.
I really like this. And the answer is going to be,
good luck.
Well, this was a Bourbon County brand sale from 2022 that I got at the Costco. They're all out now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're going to run into that kind of shit.
Yeah, but you are.
You can start learning what you do and you don't like.
Yeah.
The number of people, and I look at both of my kids who I was never afraid to let them try stuff, but they didn't drink. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when they became of age, then it's like, okay, here, now let's start walking through the different kinds. Now that I can take you to a brewery and we can try stuff, let's get a flight. I want you to try all these different styles. I'll pick it for you. Tell me what you like and what you don't like. And so like my son, he's been more of a like Coors Banquet in lime lager. He really liked the one from Heist, you know, and more like, you know, lagers and whatnot. But then he was in a couple weeks ago and I had that Sierra Nevada torpedo box and he's like, I had an IPA and I didn't mind it. I'm like, well, okay, try one of these. And he sat there and just killed it. And he's like, I really like this. And I'm like, welcome to my side, you know?
Welcome to the IPA club, kiddo.
West Coast IPAs, let's go.
Too bad we're all going to have to stop drinking them.
Now I got to start hiding them because he's going to come in. It's like he was in this weekend. He was just like, oh, yeah, we're having dinner. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just grab one of these. I'm like, oh, damn, that was my last.
Damn it, dude.
Yeah, that's my last electric torpedo. And then the next night he grabbed my last Phantasm torpedo. So I'm like, I need to get another box.
They have Phantasm one?
Yeah, the new box is electric, Phantasm, regular torpedo, and atomic. Hmm. It is again.
All right. All right.
Zero turds in that box. It is awesome.
All right.
You definitely had me at
You're a fan of Phantasm?
Phantom Torpedo. What?
Huh? Your mic sounds weird, by the way. It sounds like you're on your laptop all of a sudden. Just so you know.
Anywho.
Something may have died.
Did Wells die?
I don't know. Did he?
No.
Okay. This last article is kind of an interesting, eye-opening fact that everything is rising cost-wise. And even, like, I know... Okay, so Wells, you don't count. You work at the Vale. You get free shit. Jeff and I have to still pay for this shit out of our own pockets.
I work hard for the money.
And it feels like every time I buy a new 6-pack, 12-pack, 4-pack, that old price point that used to shock me, these are now that.
Yep.
And then I saw this and went, okay, so it's not just craft beer that's being affected by this. This is actually everything that is being affected by it and how much more expensive some of this shit has gotten. Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys saw, but would you like to take a guess of what the average price for a Bud Light was at the Super Bowl?
$18.
Wells, do you have a guess? If you didn't see it.
I mean, I think, Jeff, I think it was 17, wasn't it?
It's 22.
22?
$22.
So at a dollar an ounce, I'm assuming, because I'm assuming they're probably selling them in the big cups.
Right.
Actually, it's not going to be a 22-ounce beer. It's probably going to be... That's probably a 16. Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. For a Bud Light, $22 for some beer.
Something, something, ingredients cost more and it costs more to get whatever.
No. No, I mean, not that much more. Give me a break.
All right. So this top line in this infographic actually is really kind of telling of where we are. So Sam Adams Summer Ale, which I hadn't thought about in forever. Back in 2015, it was $13.99. In today's world, it's $23.
What?
For Sam Adams Summer Ale. That is not a complex beer when it comes to beers, right? There's not a lot of hops in that thing. It's a pretty basic beer.
Right.
And that is a 71% increase.
Dos Equis, I feel like I understand the what was the time period on this again?
2015 to today, so a 10-year span basically.
So I feel like Dos Equis started charging more because they were running the most interesting man in the world commercials.
Yep.
Miller High Life, I don't know. I just feel like Miller High Life, PBR. I feel like those prices rose because everybody else's prices were rising.
Well, and I was gonna say PBR makes sense, right? Because that was the hipster beer. And so they could get away with charging that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how many people's identities were made around, especially in the 2015 to 2022 era,
yeah,
really, of I'm a hipster, I'm going to drink PBR.
Well, Corona fits in that bucket as well. I mean, I know it's not a huge jump compared to the others, but, you know, Corona is like Ultra in my mind. It is less... I enjoy this beer. It is more, I enjoy being seen drinking this beer.
Yeah.
Because Ultra is about like, oh, yeah, I mean, we want to go get Ultra. Like it's just this like weird sort of like, look how healthy I am.
Yeah. I hit the gym, bruh.
You guys. Hey, I broke the code. I know how to drink beer and not gain a bunch of weight. I'm like, well, I mean.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations. Cool.
But I mean, what's interesting to me too is you look at this whole list. It's all macro beer.
Yep.
I mean, Yingling's on there, which I think we can all agree is probably macro beer. But it's all macro beer in Sam Adams, which again, also macro beer.
Yeah, all of this is macro beer.
Meanwhile, I would love to see the, well, and probably because a lot of the craft breweries haven't been around for 10 years.
Right.
But, like, show me Trillium. I'd like to see a 10% increase. Because
or Treehouse or other half or...
Because, I mean, like, Trillium is over $30 a 4-pack. And I look at Grant every time and I'm like, dude. And he's like, I know, but I've got people that come in and buy it. I'm like, awesome. As long as you're selling them, that's cool. I like, he will do a thing where if he needs to move the inventory and the beer's been sitting for, it's getting too long, he'll make a blind case.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, a case is 24 cans. Mm-hmm. And so he'll put, you know, 24 cans in and then put another case lit on top. So you can't tell what's in it. And then he'll sell it for basically his cost just to get him out of the store.
Really?
Yeah. I don't ever buy the IPAs because inevitably it's all a bunch of old and hazy and whatever. But I bought his stout case at Christmas time and it was fantastic.
Why don't you clue a brother in the next time this is happening?
Absolutely. I'm not for the IPAs, obviously.
Yeah, but yeah,
like, yeah.
If he does, like a stout one? Yeah.
Stout
one,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to have that.
Yeah. It was great. I ended up splitting it with somebody, and it was great. It was some Hot Fly, North of Maine, Devil's Logic, Irish Dry Stout, a couple of flavor, like Dissolvers, Furbified, salted caramel stout, like some weird stuff in there too, and a pastry stout from Resident Culture. But I mean, like overall, like this is not a
horrible.
Yeah, it's a good value play. Yeah. Because if anybody needs beer, as I'm looking at all of the stuff you've got sitting on the floor, you don't need more beer. You need to drink what you have.
You shut up. I mean, that hot honey thing, I don't think is ever going to go anywhere.
Well, the Soprasada?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. It's. It's super interesting. Have it with some charcuterie.
All right.
It's not. It was not as bad as some of the other troll beers that have come in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've been hurt before. So.
That could help.
Yeah, you could fuck all the way off on that one. All right. Well, it's show two. Jeff and I are about to hit Bino Bye, but what have you been drinking?
You know, I'm going backwards today. Usually I end on the high note, and today I got stuck with the 11% at the beginning, and then slid into a nice little doom volume from the Veil. It is 6%. And
MF Doom, MF Doom?
I was listening to MF Doom during that cannon run, so hopefully nice. Some of that made it into the beer. But yeah, it's just a nice little 6%er, and I've had several of them over the weekend, so A+.
Right on.
Question for you, Josh. Well, and Wells, did you get snowed in at all?
When? I mean,
the last couple of weekends.
Yeah.
We got real bad 2 weeks ago, and then it gave us like another inch and a half on Friday, but that didn't snow in.
So did you? What were your drinking habits any different when you're locked in at home and there's snow?
Not really. Honestly, I slept a lot more. It's like there's nowhere to go and it's like 12 degrees outside and it's really icy and nasty. And I'm just going to like, I don't know. I probably slept like 12 hours a day for a couple days.
Josh?
So that was fun fact. The first dose of the shot, which I was all about, like, hey, let's drink because I don't have anywhere to go, and my body was like, nope, you can't anymore.
All right,
like I paced out so hard, like, of how much, because I mean I realized this a long time ago that, and I have worked on fixing it, that I was a binge drinker. Like, there was zero doubt I was a binge drinker, because I can go an entire, you know, week, I don't have a single fucking thing, and I'm fine. I don't have the shakes or any of the weird shit like that. But weekend opens up, and oh baby, let's go. The fire hose has been opened.
You're an opportunistic drinker.
Yes.
Yep.
And even day one, because I took that shot that Friday morning, before all this shit really started to hit, because it really kind of built up.
It was Friday